Hello, Pittsburgh. This is Trib Lives from the Newsroom, a podcast bringing you top stories from TribLive.com. I'm your host, Zach Gibson. Last Thursday, May 28th, in a case watched closely nationwide, former President Donald Trump was found guilty of 34 counts in the New York hush money trial. He's the first former president to become a convicted felon. With many watching, their focus was on Trump's reaction and the reactions of the public, many of Trump's supporters claiming a rigged jury or an unfair trial in some way or other. But some political experts focused their attention and appreciation on the strong constitution of the American legal system. Here to tell us about what's so remarkable about this case and the experts' praise of the legal system is Trib Lives Federal and Allegheny Courts reporter Paula Reed Ward. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the Trump trial. We know that on May 28th, Donald Trump was found guilty on 34 counts where he was being tried for falsifying business records to hide hush money payments for an adult film star ahead of the 2016 election. His sentencing will be on July 11th, which comes just before the Republican National Convention. How long has this whole trial been going, and what can you tell me about it?
So the trial started about 6 weeks ago and featured testimony from a number of people that really raised a lot of attention to the case, particularly Stormy Daniels, who was the adult film star who was involved in the entirety of it, as well as Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's former attorney and fixer. So the witnesses went on for several weeks, and the jury was only out deliberating for a little more than a day before returning their guilty verdict on Thursday.
Now, this is something that's never happened in American history before. He is the first former president to be convicted of a felony, correct?
That is correct.
So with no president having been on trial like this before, Trump has made history. And because of the importance of this trial, there are a lot of eyes and pressure on the legal system. So you interviewed a few experts about the trial overall, correct?
I did. I spoke with people specifically who are experts in the criminal justice system as well as constitutional law to see how they interpreted not the verdict itself, but how the process played out.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So one of the things that the experts talked about, and I talked with a former federal judge who was appointed by a Republican president, I talked to a former U.S. attorney who was appointed by a Democratic president, and I talked to a couple of constitutional law professors as well. And basically, all of them, the take that they think is important to kind of take away from the trial is that the criminal justice system functioned the way that it was supposed to. Donald Trump had a jury of his peers chosen from New York State. He was tried in state court, not federal court on this case. He had a jury of his peers from New York. They went through a traditional jury selection process. They sat and heard testimony over a period of several weeks. They listened to the adversarial process between the prosecution and defense and how it played out. And what all of those experts came away with outside of the verdict, and they were all very specific to say that it wasn't about the fact that Trump was found guilty, but the fact that the system held strong. The jurors listened to the evidence before them. They listened to the judge's instructions on the law, and they came away with a verdict. And each of those experts basically say that our criminal justice system did exactly as it's supposed to.
Okay. Now, just for our listeners, I want to give a better picture of the pressure that was on this trial. Throughout the trial, there were many visitors who went to show support or decry the former president during the trial's run. Some to be named are Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, likely possible running mates for Donald Trump, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Governor Doug Burgum were also in appearance. Big names in the Republican Party like Tucker Carlson and Representative Matt Gaetz were also there. On the opposing side, there were celebrities like Robert De Niro and Barbara Streisand who showed their support for the process and called out the wrongdoing of Donald Trump throughout the trial. Robert De Niro appeared with Michael Fanone and Harry Dunn, who were the two police officers that were present at the Capitol and were attacked by pro-Trump rioters during the 2021 insurrection. So with all of these eyes and all of this pressure and so many voices surrounding this case, some may have expected things to go differently.
Yes. So it could have very easily devolved into a circus atmosphere there. The judge, Justice Merchan, clearly had control of the room. He several times during the pendency of the case had to convene court to warn Trump against making comments outside of the courtroom and violating the gag order. And it could have very easily turned into a situation that really made a mockery of the criminal justice system. But instead, both the attorneys for the prosecution and the defense and the judge made the system work, presented the evidence to the jurors in a way that they could understand and ultimately deliberate and reach a verdict.
So essentially, the system functioned the way it was supposed to, despite all of the different influences that could have influenced it in all of these different ways. So in your conversations, did they say more than just the praise for the trial process?
They did. They talked about the potential ramifications that come out of the trial, the process, and the aftermath as well. I talked with Jerry Dickinson, who is a constitutional law professor at Pitt. And one of the things, the way he characterized it was really striking to me. He called the verdict sad, sobering, and celebratory. It was sad, basically, he said, because, you know, our former commander-in-chief of the United States was found guilty of 34 felony charges. And sobering because we as a country have to recognize what that means and what it might mean for the future. And he said celebratory, not again because of the verdict itself, but to recognize that the rule of law applied even though it was to the president of the United States.
With the jury's verdict, Trump remained defiant and angry. And a lot of his supporters were seen doubling down on support for him. I've personally seen some interviews where people ask their feelings about the verdict and they said it just makes them want to vote for him more to prove how corrupt and rigged his trial was. The experts in your story point to rhetoric like this being potentially a threat to our governmental institutions and in some ways the independence of our judiciary branch. Can you talk about what that looks like? I know that there have been even calls for the judge, Judge Merchan, to recuse himself from the trial.
Yeah, I think that experts who have followed the case and listened to the rhetoric that has come afterward are worried at not the criticism of the verdict so much, but calling the system rigged and corrupt. Because what that does, you know, having people in high political offices or people who are high profile making comments like that really have the potential to delegitimize the criminal justice system. They can make the regular, everyday American citizen question whether or not the criminal justice system is working. And if you have all of these big names saying, oh, it's corrupt, oh, it's rigged, well, then how are they to believe that the courthouse down the street is rigged? You know, maybe they feel the same way about that. And so the experts, they really believe that criticizing the verdict is different than criticizing the process. And particularly with Judge Merchan, you know, there have been repeated calls that he should have recused himself before the case even went to trial. He had made a donation to Joe Biden in 2020. It was for $15. And his daughter has worked on Democratic political campaigns. And so, you know, there has been a great deal of criticism that he should have recused himself and not, you know, should not have presided over the trial. But one of the things that strikes me and others who have analyzed this whole process, you know, we have Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida, who's overseeing one of Trump's federal cases.
Yes.
The documents case. And she was appointed by him, but hasn't recused herself from her position. And as we've seen unfolding over the last several weeks, the U.S. Supreme Court, which has to hear the Trump January 6th evidence, both Justice Alito and Justice Thomas have ties. There's been a recent controversy about Justice Alito flying a flag that is known to be supported by the insurrectionists at his home. And Justice Thomas's wife was heavily involved in the January 6th movement. And it doesn't seem as though any of those same supporters are calling for them to recuse.
It's a puzzling situation, and there are worries that this delegitimizing of the process and institution could devolve into something where our figures within these institutions become highly politicized. And with Trump's supporters, many have doubled down, as I've already stated. But do you think that this will have an effect come the Republican National Convention? There were many Republican names that showed up in support of Trump during the trial, and there are many now still that are calling an unjust or rigged trial. Do you think that this is something that could be mirrored at the convention?
I think it's certainly possible. There have been a lot of political experts and even polls. I read one just today where, you know, a few months ago, a poll asked if a convicted felon ought to be able to run for the presidency. And the poll was of likely Republican voters, and the number was more than 40% who said no, they should not. And the poll was repeated just recently since the verdict, and that number had dropped to somewhere around 23%. So I don't know that any of this is necessarily going to change. If you were a strong Trump supporter, I don't think this is going to make you not be a strong Trump supporter. Political experts have basically said the question will lie very much at the fringes, right? People who are undecided voters, people who maybe are conservatives and Republicans, but not necessarily Trump supporters. And those numbers, basically, political scientists believe that it's probably a small number of voters that will be impacted by this, but it's likely to be a close race. And so those small numbers likely will matter.
One more piece on this topic, and then we will move on. There is a similar case in terms of attention that is going on right now, which is Hunter Biden's case. Now, as I said before, a lot of Trump supporters have called this verdict corrupt and the entire trial itself rigged. If there is a guilty verdict at the end of the Hunter Biden case, is this something that we would likely see the same reaction from on the Biden supporting side? Or is this something that the Trump supporters would also call a rigged trial? And what could that look like?
So the Hunter Biden case is different in many respects. It is being tried in federal court in Delaware versus the Trump case we're talking about, which was tried in New York State. In the Biden case, Hunter Biden is charged with lying on a form relative to buying a firearm and denying that he was a drug user at that time. And he originally had a plea deal worked out with federal prosecutors that would have allowed the case to resolve without a trial, and that fell apart. So in this instance, I don't think that you will see, if Hunter Biden is convicted, I don't think that you will see the same criticism by the Democratic Party about the results of it. I don't think you will hear the same things from Joe Biden that you have heard relative to the Trump trial and from Trump himself. Joe Biden said the other day, as the trial was beginning jury selection, that he supports his son and he loves his son, but he wasn't going to comment further than that about the allegations or the charges against him. And I think he is trying to stay somewhat removed from it, given that he is the president and given that the federal Department of Justice falls underneath his purview. It's an interesting portrait between the two cases. You know, Trump was tried in state court. Hunter Biden is being charged in federal court. President Biden has no authority over anything that would happen in New York State. And the Department of Justice does, in fact, fall under him. So I think that the two cases are significantly different in how they've been handled. And I think that the impact that either of them will have on how the American public responds.
Let's move on to our final section. Your piece ends with a commentary on the American electorate from Dickinson. I'm going to have you read this piece and then break it down for our listeners.
If we are going to be the shining light on the hill internationally as a beacon of democracy and the rule of law, we need to look in the mirror and question whether we are living up to those standards and whether we are holding those we elect accountable. Is this truly who we are and who we want to be? So Jerry Dickinson, who is a constitutional law scholar and really believes very much in the rule of law and how it applies, I think he's questioning how it is that we as a country got in the position that we are in the first place. You know, he referenced Donald Trump's history of behavior that in decades past would have been highly criticized by the public, you know, accused of having a relationship with an adult film star in the run-up to the election, criticizing Gold Star families back in 2016, talking about grabbing women by their genitals. And Dickinson, I think, was really asking that the American public look at itself and how we're choosing our candidates, and if this is a place where we want to be, and if this is the direction that we want to head. And I think he was warning our community to really give a lot of thought to that as we head into, you know, the next election.
Okay. Thank you, Paula, for coming to join me today and explaining this topic.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining. If you enjoyed this week's episode, share the podcast to help keep Western PA locally informed with insightful discussion and the latest news from your area. It's an easy way to spread the word, and it helps our podcast reach more people like you. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and turn on episode notifications so you never miss new content. Once again, I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom.